Richmond Prairie, outside of Dayton, Ohio. That's where it really happened, folks. I mean, that's where they perfected flight. Huffman Prairie. You can still go there today, outside Dayton, Ohio. Because at Kitty Hawk, they flew for 57 seconds. Or was it 59? Yeah, and it was straight ahead. No banking, no turning, or anything like that. But at Huffman Prairie, this is out in the open. Anybody could come by and see them, but few people did. Here is where they perfected flight. They learned to turn. They did figure eights. They did full circles, which was amazing. The first time an airplane had ever turned around in the air. Nobody could figure out how to do that. They did it with their wing warping, with their uneven pressures on top and on bottom of the airfoil. Hello everyone, Martin Zender here, another adventure into the truth using the Wright brothers. And we're going to move on to Babylon, of course. I'm putting it off, but it's going to happen. We're going to talk about Babylon, but I'm not done taking all the richness out of here yet. Now listen to this. They're out at Huffman Prairie all day flying an airplane, which humanity has longed to do since Adam. Since Adam, nobody's figured out. Everybody's looked at the birds and wondered, how did they do that? But nobody's done it until these guys. And they're doing it. But it's so fantastic, it's so unbelievable that people just can't wrap their heads around it. It was actually years before people knew what had happened at Kitty Hawk. It happened. And their Catherine knew, and their dad knew, and some of their neighbors knew, their mechanic, Charlie Taylor, knew. Some kid that was hanging out at Kitty Hawk, he knew. The guy that was in charge of the life-saving station out at Kitty Hawk, he knew. Very few people realized it. It was years before. That's what I keep saying, that after the snatching away occurs, it's going to be years before people realize what happened. Before people on Earth realized what happened. That the next epic event in God's calendar, as I told you, is the snatching away of the body of Christ, which is a completion of Christ. It's going to happen in anonymity. It's going to happen at Kitty Hawk. It's going to happen at Huffman Prairie. Some day, some obscure, stupid day, and 10 years after it happens, the world is still going to be waiting for it to happen. In the meantime, we're in the Celestials beginning the reconciliation of the universe, which will go unrecognized, just like our Lord's life, just like the Wright brothers' life. Listen to this. Page 116 of the book. Not one reporter bothered to attend during this time. That is, during the time they're flying an airplane at Huffman Prairie. Nor did public interest increase. With few exceptions, there seemed no public interest at all, no local excitement or curiosity or sense of wonder over the miraculous thing happening right in Dayton's own backyard. Yeah, there it is. Did you know that Jesus Christ grew up in somebody's backyard? He lived in a neighborhood, and he walked around in somebody's backyard, and they didn't even know it. Quote again from the book. Nor did anyone seem to appreciate the kind of minds, not to say the extraordinary skill and courage, needed to succeed at so daring a venture. The minds of these men were far beyond anything the minds of their contemporaries could think or dream. In fact, their minds were so far above that of the populace that it was incredible. The populace thought it incredible that anybody could think such thoughts. People have said the same thing about you and me. I mean, our truth is so high that the highest of the formerly trained, it doesn't attain to it. They're in kindergarten compared to where we are in God. No credit to us. God's giving us this wisdom, a realization of the eons, of the time periods God's working in, of the purpose of God to bring, to return all to himself, of Christ being the second Adam and the last Adam and what this means for the members of the first Adam. We know what it means. And we have these plain verses in the scripture. But nobody can read them, just as the principles of flight were always existent. The birds were doing it from day one. Always existent, these principles. And once the Wright brothers started doing it, everybody starts flying. Why didn't we think of this? Because you're afraid. Because you can't, your mind can't get past the box that you're in. That's why. In 5 months, the brothers were to make no less than 50 test flights at Huffman Prairie. And Charlie Taylor, ever on hand in case of motor trouble, that was their mechanic, would say that every time he watched either of them head down the starting track, he had the awful feeling he might never again see him alive. Because it was dangerous. This flying business was dangerous. The Apostle Paul was in danger for his life, day by day, night by night, by his countrymen mainly, because they hated him, because his mind was so high, his mind was so full of advanced, can we call it that, truth, and they were so stupid, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the trained men of the day, that they couldn't fathom that there could be an intelligence far higher than their own and a man so humble, so stupid looking, a man who had thrown everything away. The Apostle Paul threw it all away. He was one of them. He was accomplished. He was zealous. And he threw it all away for a dream, for a fantasy, to conduct experiments out at Huffman Prairie. You know where Paul's Huffman Prairie was? The Arabian desert. That's where Jesus Christ took him and educated him. It was in the desert, Paul says. He went into the wilderness. Where did Jesus go? Into the wilderness. Where does Israel go in the book of Revelation? Into the wilderness. Where was Israel trained by Moses? In the wilderness. Where are the Wright brothers flying? In the wilderness. The wilderness. The wilderness of Kitty Hawk, the wilderness of Huffman Prairie. And Charlie Taylor feared for their life every single flight. Because they were doing something that had never been done before. Writing his autobiography later, James Cox, publisher of the Dayton Daily News, remembered. This guy, he's reflecting years later. Oh, believe me. The day came when Dayton gave them the biggest homecoming, the biggest parade, the biggest celebration you can imagine. That's coming for us too. I'm reminded of Joseph's brothers, right? Sold him into slavery. This guy's an idiot. He has dreams, always these dreams. The Wright brothers, dreams, always these dreams. Looking at the birds, bunch of idiots. Us, people, get your nose out of the books. You're studying the original languages, you're studying words. You need to be flowing in the spirit. You quit thinking about the snatching away. Dreams. What? What? You're going to be future rulers of the universe? Stop it. And yet these same people, Joseph's brothers, come back to laud him, to celebrate him. And the city of Dayton, eventually, they're a little slow. Eventually realize the greatness that was happening right in their backyard. Jesus in Nazareth. Israel is someday. They still haven't yet. Because God is very patient. Ridiculously patient, if you ask me. Israel still hasn't realized the greatness that happened in our own backyard, in Nazareth, in Galilee. And they celebrate Jerusalem for all the wrong reasons. Oh, Christians go to all the sites of the blah, 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 blah. But they don't know the Lord who they think they're celebrating. They don't know him. When the city editor of the Daily News, Dan Kumler, was asked later why for so long nothing was reported of the momentous accomplishments taking place so nearby, he said after a moment's reflection, quote, "I guess the truth is that we were just plain dumb," unquote. Oh, I love this. I love this. This is the editor of the Dayton Daily News, Dan Kumler. I got to give it to this guy. A little late to the party, but we'll take it. Was asked later why for so long nothing was reported of the momentous accomplishments taking place so nearby. He said, after a moment's reflection, I guess the truth is that we were just plain dumb. Oh my gosh. A guy named Amos Root is the one who discovered the Wright brothers. Amos Root. Have you ever heard of him? He was from Medina, Ohio, very close to where I grew up. Medina, Ohio is near Akron, which is near Canton, which is where I grew up. And he came to the Wright brothers. This is like one of the wise men. This is analogous to the three wise men coming to visit Jesus Christ as a youth. Amos Root lived in Medina, miles from Dayton. They had put trust in him. I forget how they came to know of him. But listen to this. In December, Amos Root returned to Dayton and by the interband this time and met with the Wrights at 7 Hawthorne to read aloud what he had written in advance of publication. Oh, yeah. They knew this guy. They invited him to Huffman Prairie to come see them fly. So he goes, drives his car down there through Ashland, through Mansfield, all these places I know. And this guy, Amos Root, and he goes down there and he's there by himself watching the Wrights taking laps around this prairie, a powered flight, the first time since Adam. The people have dreamed about this for 6,000 years, and it's finally happening. Just like Israel, longing for the Messiah for 4,000 years, and he finally shows up, and they don't see him, they don't notice him. He's right there in their midst, and it's the same thing here. We can't wait to fly. We want to be like the birds. And so after 6,000 years, it took longer for humans to fly than it did for the Messiah to show up after Adam. You realize that? It was only 4,000 years after Adam that the second Adam showed up to rescue all those enthralled in the sin and death of the first Adam. So here we have 6,000 years. It's even longer. And we have powered flight happening in a pasture in Dayton. And one guy goes down to see what's going on, Amos Root. And he wrote about it in his periodical. Listen to the name of Amos Root's periodical. The guy was a beekeeper. And the name of his periodical was Gleanings in Bee Culture. Gleanings in Bee Culture was the epic publication which first broadcast to the world the accomplishments of the Wright brothers 2 years before. I think this is about 2 years after Kitty Hawk. Why they had put so much trust in Root was never explained, but clearly they had much in common. He too, in the early days of his beekeeping enterprise, had been taken for a nut. He had succeeded with his ideas only by close study. So this guy, Amos Root, was a pioneer in bees. He was so ahead of his time in the keeping of bees that his contemporaries thought he was a nut. Look at that nut over there. What's he doing with those bees? He had succeeded with his ideas, whatever they were. They were apparently ahead of their time by close study. Close study. So many analogies. Importantly, beginning with his first visit in August, he had shown himself true to his word and ready to cooperate in any way he could to achieve accuracy in what he wrote. It kind of reminds me, too, of Nicodemus coming to our Lord by night. Nobody else bothers. Here's Jesus Christ is with them for 3 years. But one man sought him out. And that man will be celebrated in his day. Nicodemus and Amos Root. Like their father, Amos Root was a man of strong religious convictions, and it was of no small importance that Bishop Wright approved. That's right. The Wright brothers' father was a man of the cloth. As he wrote in his diary, quote, Mr. Root seems to be a fine gentleman. I love this. Understatement. Perhaps above all, Wilbur and Orville knew from their first meeting with Root that his regard for them was altogether genuine, his belief in the possibility of human flight no less than their own. This is a fellow believer. Oh, the glory of it. The glory of Amos Root. The glory of you coming here to visit with me, and me coming to visit with you. So few of us. You have traveled long ways to hear me speak at different places. I have traveled long ways over the years to come to your home. Some of you listening have entertained me in your home. You're the Amos Root. I'm the Amos Root. We're this beekeeper who gets wind of something fantastic happening, and we get together and we publish our things in Gleanings in Bee Culture. That's why I've named my newsletters Ridiculous Things. The Idle Babbler Illustrated, The Clanging Gong News, ZWTF. What the hell is that? Well, it's Gleanings in Bee Culture. And in this publication, Gleanings in Bee Culture was the first word to the world of the miracle of powered flight. That was where it was. And where are words going out today? In ridiculously titled publications. From a ridiculous person to other ridiculous people. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we are the next greatest thing God is going to do. We're in the position now that Jesus was in Nazareth. We're in the position now that the Wright brothers were in on Huffman Prairie. We're in the position that Amos Root was in as he drove his little car solo down to Dayton, Ohio to report his findings in Gleanings in Bee Culture. I must turn off the microphone now and have myself a little chuckle.